What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
This episode of Bustin' with the Boys, the Boys, is presented by Barstool Sports.
Hey, you see the LeJuan jersey in the back, too?
Taylor.
You can tell it's been recently put up.
Sad.
You know that? And that thing has been in Tupperware, stuffed in the closet. Look at that.
It doesn't look wrinkly.
I got to make sure I get it. There you go. Right there. Over my shoulder. Always watching. Always watching. Judging. Looking. Look at the baby.
Nice. Already started off with an old school reference. Let me put my blue blockers on to save my eyes. We're living.
What a get up you got going right now. I got the got your mask on, obviously, for the reason.
Dude, just in case somebody comes to my house right now?
Never know.
I'm ready to go.
Gotta open the package. Never know.
Need to rob somebody? Boom. Right there. Life's easy, man. Life's easy out here in Nashville, Tennessee, bro. What, you're at Encinitas right now?
Yeah, I'll be in Encinitas for a long time.
So what's the deal? So, okay, anyone who's joining us right now, by the way, you're on. If this is it,
we're doing it.
You're on the podcast now. Congratulations. This must be 6 Pro Bowls, Hall of Fame career. This has got to be top 5 for you.
Yeah, this is probably, I mean, I've actually been wanting to be on the show since you started it, but I never got the invite. So a little bit thrown for a loop there. I thought
you've known about the show for a minute.
You know, we never actually hung out either. We were supposed to hang out all off season last year. Probably talked.
Made
plans like 9 different times, and it just never felt. It kept on falling through.
Listen, I did a podcast yesterday with Chase Rice, and me and Will had to go in on him for big timing us.
Don't even start.
It on the chin, and he took it on the chin. Did I big time you? No.
Yes.
Because you're here. You're here in the offensive lineman world. I'm somewhere down here.
You see whose jersey is hanging up right here in the center.
Put that up just now.
No. This is my office right here. And this is
an office of helmets and Pro Bowl stuff, and then my jersey hanging over right in the middle.
Yep.
Crazy. He's proud of you. He's proud of you.
It's crazy out here.
If I do say so, like if I was a rookie again, I would definitely have chosen 77. That's the best lineman number, I think.
It really is. I appreciate you saying that.
You know, because you don't think about it too, because like you have a lot of surface area that's being covered that you need to be covered by the number. And 7'4" is kind of like spread out. And so it was always like weird on my stomach, and it looked weird. And 77 is kind of nice linear lines on the offensive line stomach, kind of.
Sharp and simple. It's like the Nike symbol, honestly.
Exactly.
What it is.
Always promoting. You're a marketer's dream.
I tell you what, dude, I'm sponsored by very few things, but I'll sell my fucking soul for those things.
Yeah, and you wouldn't guess it either. I mean, you do look like a guy that is promoting everything at all times.
Do I actually look like that? So things are taking a turn.
Hey, that was tough for him to hear. I
was in a rant. I had something going. I had to say this. Yes, did we try to hang out several times last offseason? Yes. Did it fall through every single time? Yes. Was it my fault every single time? Yes, it was. I'm keeping my head above water. I got a young kid. I'm just trying to figure out life. I'm not established like you. I don't got that. I can make all the excuses in the world. I fucked up. Look at me in the eyes.
Take those things off real quick. Let me see.
Get closer. Get closer, Taylor. Get closer to the camera.
Ah, fucked up. Okay?
I accept it. I accept the apology.
Yes. So that's – it's important. It's important. Listen, if I let Will down, whatever. You know what I'm saying? If I let you down.
I don't know what you're saying, man. That's your guy right there. You can't just
Hey, I'll tell you what, Taylor. Taylor's not that loyal. Taylor's not that loyal.
Yo, don't you fucking dare.
Hey, when we get done, like privately, but hey, man, you know your mom.
You know I didn't.
But publicly, he'll just shame the shit out of me, dude. But hey, man, you can take jokes. You're good at taking jokes.
Dude,
that's not what I say, Will. That's not what I say.
I'm actually the same exact way, though.
Will has a sexual fetish. He needs people to verbally assault him.
This is it.
Like, these are my words.
That's not what I want. That's not what I fucking want, dude.
Hey, Will, you're a piece of shit. Hey, Will, go fuck yourself. Like, this is all I don't want to do this. I have to do this for him.
You're being a good friend.
I'm being a good friend. If anything, I'm the most loyal friend person in Will's life to date, including his fiance, including his parents.
That's a strong claim right there, dude.
See, I had both of you guys talking. I'm gonna need
go ahead, Joe. What did you say?
No, I was just saying that you're that entrenched and you're that loyal of a friend that you know those deep dark secrets about him, and so that's how deep it goes with you guys.
Right. So I just know. I know that he needs that verbal assault. Some people need it. That's what fires people up. That's what gets people going in the morning. And if I have to wake up every morning and do that to Will, I will.
It's a phenomenal pod so far.
It came out of the gates hot.
Just talking shit, just spitballing, not having any.
That's the bus, though, bro. That's busting with the boys,
dude,
man.
That's just what we do, dude.
I'll tell you, you look like you lost some pounds already.
Yeah, I'm like 260.
Oh, that dude!
I'm super proud too, because I'm like that guy, that weird guy, like just discovered that I'm a vegan, and I'm telling every single person about it in the whole world. So I'm like, anybody that asks is like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Dude, I'm working out, Pelotoning, I'm losing weight. Like, you want to see a picture? Look at this."
I tell you, who set the bar though is fucking Joe Thomas. Mm.
Hey, he ripped that dude.
That dude is ripped.
He's the reason why I'm like trying. I'm always just one step behind him my whole entire career.
That son of a bitch, dude.
That son of a bitch. If it wasn't for Joe Thomas, my career accolades would have looked so different.
Yeah, but think about it. Like, he played for the Browns, and I don't think he had a winning season.
Yeah, I did have more team success, but individual accolades, Joe Thomas set the bar very high in that regard.
So when you retire, now that you've retired, like, you don't have to be like the team, like I don't know if you know who Bo Schembechler is, but at Michigan it's always the team. That was his big thing.
I'm from Michigan, of course I know.
Yeah, Bo. I know, but you went to Central Michigan, so I'm just
only sure. Because I wasn't good enough.
No, hey, listen, you're a 6-time Pro Bowler, but if you doubled mine,
I became good enough, but at the time I was the shits coming out of high school.
So you know Bo Schembechler, the team. Like, it's like when you retire, now is it like, well, you know, yeah, team success is cool, but like, what about all my accolades? Are you like kind of wish you did a little more individual stuff?
No. You know, because I think you play football. Obviously, it's nice to be recognized for like all the hard work and like what you're doing individually. But especially as a lineman, it's like you're just kind of in train. And my mentality was never like, I'm going to do what I can and make sure everybody notices me, because that kind of mentality, once I got in the NFL and we had started having like successful seasons, I wanted nothing more than to keep that train rolling, because that feeling of like the locker room feel of like going through a season, playing in playoff games, you know, playing for games that actually matter. It can't replicate that with anything. So, you know, I'm most proud of, like, you know, being in the playoffs, winning playoff games every time we were there, you know, getting to the Super Bowl twice. I mean, those are experiences that I'll have for the rest of my life. And, you know, obviously wouldn't want to win, but, you know, just wasn't in the cards for me personally. But, you know, the individual accolades are whatever. You know, I was – the one thing that I was kind of proud of was the all-decade team, just because that was more like a career.
Yeah, that was fucking sick, dude. That's awesome.
That was so sick.
Just like a career, that was like a career you know, achievement, kind of like just people appreciating what I've done for my whole career. But as far as like individual seasons, no. But it was cool. It's cool going to like the Pro Bowl and stuff, just because I get to, you know, it's how I got introduced to you, meet a lot of different kind of cool people, stay in touch, and just kind of meet different people. Because I'm not, I mean, I played for one team my whole career. So I wasn't like making friends all across the league from, you know, getting to see different people and meet different people from different backgrounds, all that stuff. So it was a cool opportunity to kind of go down there and, you know, meet some of these guys that you watch on TV that you think are amazing.
Well, I appreciate that, like, man.
You being on like one team your whole career, like, I feel like everybody wants that. Everybody wants to play for the same team.
Yeah, you're
no
on
one
that,
wants to go
on
like course. What's that?
So you're on that course.
Yeah, man, you never know. I might get cut tomorrow. You never know what's going to happen. I might say one dumb thing on this podcast, and it's all going to be over for me. I'll be knocking on the door of San Francisco.
I think they've accepted it, and I think your head coach welcomes it as well. Speaking of your head coach, how about him having the guy that was shitting in the corner at the
dude, I said that to him.
He said it. He said it wasn't.
It was Tyler, his son.
Yeah.
Did he? Oh, that was his son? Did he know?
He goes, it's Tyler. He's not shitting. He's sitting on a bar stool. All I did was send him the picture. But
okay.
And he goes, oh, it's Tyler. He's sitting on the bar stool. And in my head, I'm like, hey, I feel like it's a little weird that you were already ready for that answer the minute I sent it to you. Like, you were like, he was on defense mode right away.
Well, I think everybody was probably hitting him up, because I hit him up too. Like, yo, is he? He's like, no, it's Tyler. He's just taking a shit. Or he's not taking a shit.
He's sitting on a stool.
Hey, but have you seen him on Barstool Feud with us? The dude was drafting. The draft was going on. It was happening. And he was playing Barstool Feud with us, Family Feud Edition, the Barstool world, and playing with us while the draft is happening. So really? Rave's definitely like about the boys, dude. He's about this stuff.
It's so funny too, because anytime I talk to him, I swear to God, the guy hates me. And then he goes and
dude,
does,
right?
He comes on our podcast. He does Barstool Feud. But when I'm in, like, I was in OTA meetings today, and, like, sure enough, he pops on the Zoom meeting because we're doing Zooms. And he's like, take your hood off. Like, he's on me. He's about it right away. Like, he gets on the boy quite a bit. But you never know, man. John and Vrabel are, like, John's very, like, I think a lot like the Patriots, where he's, like, doesn't like guys being too loud or too obnoxious. And I think John has just learned to accept my personality, my rambunctious, outgoing personality, and found not necessarily a need for it, but he's I guess appreciated it up to a point. But I think there's been a few times I've towed the line a little bit.
That's your personality. That's part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. But you're talking about the Pro Bowl and like meeting people. It's like, I was telling Will about this the other day, like how I got your jersey. And I remember, because, like, dude, like, I've told you this before. I've looked up to you since I got into the NFL, like, watching guys like you, Joe Thomas, Trent Williams, Tyron Smith, like, those dudes that have been, like, at the top of their game for a while. You watch those guys, and you're just like, what are they up to? What are they doing? So I get there. I think it was, like, what, 2 years ago? It was my third Pro Bowl. It was your fifth or sixth?
Yeah, my last one, probably. I didn't make it for the last couple of years.
So it was your sixth Pro Bowl. And I remember I like came up to you. We were talking a little bit, chatting up, and I was like, man, I'd love to get one of your jerseys. And you're like, yeah, for sure. And then I left it alone for a day. And I was like, all right, he's going to do it. He's going to send it over. Because people who don't know, like, and there's NFC locker rooms and AFC locker rooms. They're right next to each other, but like, you don't really go in the other one. And we came back from practice one day. I was like, man, I gotta put the ball in his court. So I went and signed my own jersey. And I put it over your chair. And there, I'm just crossing my fingers from then on. Like, man, I hope to God I get a Staley jersey. And you deliver.
Yeah, of course I would.
I was very happy, very proud of that.
I've had some really interesting exchanges over the years with people with that. Like Richie Incognito, I have one of his helmets actually right there. And I think all he wrote was like, "I love you, have my babies, Richie Incognito."
I got Richie signed a helmet for me, and it literally says, "I made you. You owe me everything, Richie Incognito." So, at least it's original.
I'm not that witty to come up with something like that creative on the spot or like that shocking.
I'm just
like, hey, man, all the best. Well wishes. Hey,
yeah.
Appreciate you and your career.
You're a stud.
Joe, first time I met him, he was like, oh, you're that undersized backer from the Redskins, right? Like, yeah, yeah. He's like, you know I'd fucking kill you, right? I said, like, yeah, we're Nebraska boys. He's like, yeah, yeah, Nebraska. You know, the dude is hilarious, man.
That guy's a wild guy.
He's a wild animal, no doubt. He needs some tranquilizers every once in a while, but he's a good dude. He means well.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you can ask.
I was actually very, very shocked because I heard stories about him throughout the years and meeting him for the first time. I was very shocked at how, like, down to earth and nice. And but he's like, he has a different side of him. When he likes to party, he parties.
I think it's accurate. It's all about having that balance, right? Like, everybody likes to get down, have a couple drinks, extracurriculars, whatever you're into, do what you want. But, you know, I think he finds a good balance. I think during the season, he has a really good job of calming it down for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But so you retired for 4 days, dude. There was like a rumor, because I know Mike Sullivan, and you know Sully pretty well, right?
Yeah.
So Sully's always been a big fan of you, and he's always preaching about how much better you are than me, to me, which is always really fun.
Yeah.
But he was saying something to me like, you
love that.
There's a rumor going around, no question. There's a rumor going around that you were going to, like, you were thinking about retire a few years ago before your new coach came in. Is that true? And why'd you decide to stay if it was?
Yeah. So we had just got done with 2-14 year. It was miserable. We were making a coaching change, kind of gutted the whole entire franchise. I knew there was going to be a huge turnaround, not even just from the coaching staff, but just roster. And, I was excited about Kyle coming in because I had heard so much good things about him when he was in Atlanta. You know, they just came off a Super Bowl appearance. And so I was excited about him coming in, but I just didn't know, like, how long it was going to take. And then my body at that time, I was dealing with a lot of knee stuff. And, you know, when you're dealing with, like, chronic knee pain, it just feels like it's never going to end. You know, it's just like, oh, God, my knees hurt every single day just getting in my position and coming out of my stance and, like, all this stuff, like, lifting. You know, I was
getting drained and shit.
Yeah, it's just everything. It's just taxing. And so it's just like, all right, is this going to be a huge rebuild? You know, my body's really hurt and I still want to play football. But, like, you know, I want to talk to these guys first and kind of make a decision. So that was about it, the extent of it. And then once I met Kyle and John, they kind of, like, sat me down. And then we went 0-9. And then I was like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Oh, I was taking an injury.
But then, man, we turned it around. And they're awesome, man. They're just like an unbelievable staff. And John has done a tremendous job, too, of, like, bringing in guys that, like, love football, you know. Yeah. It's one thing to have guys that are, like, really, really talented. But he did a great job of, like, not only finding those guys, but piecing together a roster that was, like, full of dudes that are just excited about coming to work and playing the game of football and getting better. You know, they might not have, like, Raheem, our running back, like, dominated the end of the season for us. And he was a special teams dude that was just, like, really content on being a special teams ace for us. And then he would get a couple carries here and there in practice. But he was never one of those guys that, like, complained about, like, oh, man, I'm a running back. I need to be getting the ball more. It was like, hey, I'm a gunner, and I'm going to be the best gunner I can be. So he found, like, a lot of guys like that that just make football fun. And it was really funny, too, because they – when I first met with them, this is like exactly what they told me. They're like, we're going to bring these type of players in and it's going to be a huge turnaround. And it's going to be guys that you, I think, are built like and that you want to be around. And we're going to do a really, you know, good job of trying to identify all those people. And then, you know, the first year is not going to go well. And then the second year, you know, hopefully we'll get a quarterback in here and then things will kind of turn around a little bit for us. But that third year is really going to be the year we kind of think we're going to take off. And it was like exactly what they told me 3 years ago. It was like what happened for us.
Oh, that's damn.
Pretty badass.
How involved is John in, like, around, like, the team environment, not in the locker room, but just around the players and stuff? Is he around you guys a lot, just being an ex-player?
Yeah. He's always in. Yeah, he's always in there. I mean, he's always in the locker room. He's in the meeting rooms. He speaks a lot to, like, you have team meetings and stuff. And guys really, I mean, it's one thing to have the general manager in there, you know, because if he's not a player, but because it's John Lynch and he was a player at really high level for a long time, you know, guys really respect his opinion on, like, how do we approach this week and, you know, his input on, you know, different things that we have to focus on. I mean, he's really prevalent in that locker room. He does a you know, great job. He's not just like a figurehead. I mean, he's really involved in everything.
So three years down the road, you're sitting there and you're like, 0-9, fuck my life. The next year's pretty decent. But you got Jimmy G that offseason, right? That second year after Kyle came in.
No, we got Jimmy the first year in a trade. So we went 0-9, and then we made a trade right at the trade deadline, and then Jimmy sat for like 3 or 4 weeks. He had to like learn the offense. And then the last five games, he sat for like 2 weeks, and then like the last five games he played, and we ended up going 5-0 at the end of the season that year.
Oh yeah, the legend. Yeah, because
that's when the Jimmy trade. Everyone was about it.
It was a porn star too. He was out with.
Yeah, I think that was that offseason that he had that little porn star incident. And
Shit did you guys give him?
Oh, a ton. And what was funny was like he was in the moment. He was like, "Well, yeah, like, yeah, she talked to me, and what you're not gonna." Respond. So like he didn't like even think it was like a big deal. Well, yeah, it's not a big deal, but like you gotta know that you're gonna be like it's gonna get blown up. He's like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we were in that bar for like 10 seconds. I don't know why he, you know, how even someone even got a picture. So whatever.
I really think that's something like so,
he was so casual about the whole thing. Like he did not care that he was in the news. He didn't care about like whatever. It was funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's funny, dude.
Look, everyone's gotta make a living a certain way, right?
Yeah,
I got a friend of mine. His dad says that, you know, if someone's gonna do it, why not you? You know what? And someone probably told her that a long time ago. Good for her. Yeah. If you make good money, not my profession. I don't like you and I have never been in the locker room together, so you've never seen this piece. But it's not worth filming. It's really just it's a novelty piece.
It's a novelty piece.
It's a novelty piece. It's like a four cylinder Honda Civic. It'll run forever, but if you want to get somewhere fast, it's not going to help you out.
Hey, as long as it doesn't need a lot of maintenance, you're all good.
Oh, dude, oil change every like 10,000 miles, dude. But this thing is it comes and goes. It's always there for me. I know
nice
that.
Use of words there. I love that. Yeah, it comes and goes.
Yeah, there you go. But so Jimmy's there. Jimmy's banging porn stars. He's crushing it. Guy tears his ACL. Now you guys are like down in the shitter, but actually ended up working out for you because you got an absolute stud in Nick Bosa.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, everything kind of fell in place. I mean, Jimmy doesn't get his torn ACL week three and our kind of season turns around. We don't run the position obviously to get Nick. It was funny that year. I remember we had this thing after training camp's done. Kyle has like everybody, all the players and people that are on the football ops side. After training camp's over and we break, and if you make the roster, then you're invited to his house and he has like a huge, you know, bash to kind of end training camp. And so we were at that party after his second training camp. And I'm sitting there talking with Robert Saleh, who's our coordinator. And he's telling me, he's like, dude, there's this kid in college. He's like, we're going to add him next year. It's just going to be unbelievable. You know, it's Nick Bosa from Ohio State. Like, you have to see this kid. He's, like, unbelievable. He's going to totally transform our defense. In my mind, I'm like, there's not a fucking shot in the world we're going to get him. That means we're going to be, like, the number one overall pick in the fucking draft. Like, I hope we go fucking add this kid to our team.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it transpired that we ended up getting him, and we ended up having a bad year. And then he was, yeah, he's – that dude is special. You know, I was around
– Is he that good?
Yeah. Dude, yeah. I was around Alden when Alden was tearing up the league.
A freak.
Back in like 2011, 12, 13. And I never thought I would see a guy that was as talented as Alden was. But Nick is, yeah, he's every bit as good as Alden was. And that kid's really special. I actually never played against his brother, Joey. But just watching him, it's like he's just, yeah, that kid's going to be unbelievable.
And before we go on to the next topic, you guys know the drill. Take several minutes, few ads, buckle up. ExpressVPN. Okay, so we all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online. But there's also something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are available in other countries only. So, for example, we're all stuck at home in quarantine right now, and it's only a matter of time until we run out of stuff to watch. So this whole week I've been using ExpressVPN to binge Rick and Morty on Netflix France. It's simple to do. I just fire up the ExpressVPN app, change my location to France, refresh Netflix, and that's it. ExpressVPN hides your IP and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries, so just think about all the Netflix and chillin' libraries you can go through. You love anime? Use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away, dude. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it, they're on it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is because it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD, no fucking problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with any device, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want on a personal device or on the big screen wherever you are. You got to visit our special link right now at expressvpn.com/bussin. You can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, support the boys, watch what you want, and protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/bussin.
Yo, how banger are those parties after training camp?
Oh, they're awesome. They're awesome. I had no cell phone policy. Like, yeah. Everybody just get fucking...
just destroyed, bro. Yeah, I had Mike Shanahan.
It's set up really well. So he got it, I think, from his dad, because his dad used to do it when he was coaching with the Broncos and the Redskins and all
that.
So he did that his whole time coaching, and I think it's awesome. Everybody looks forward to it.
We had like a gambling setup. Shanahan was walking around in a shirt like you got on. It was like a Hawaiian theme, because there's always a theme. Mm-hmm. And dude's got like, there's sushi platters coming around everywhere. There's cocktail platters, literally everything, bro. It's like, yeah. Yo, where am I? Like, we just ended training camp.
And then there's like,
it was like fake money, a casino setup, kind of a casino
setup. And then they have the prizes too. The prizes that are like.
Yes, dude. I got season tickets, like sweet tickets for the entire year. So, you know, I'm trying to make a living on the P squad.
Yeah.
Oh, you sold them, boys.
Yeah. Hey, be careful. Be careful on this pod. Be careful on this pod. I don't know if that's But I remember getting it because I was like fourth in the rankings and people were getting like overnight trips and, you know, these big things. And I'm like hoping that I could get something that I can kind of.
It's funny how competitive
it gets. Yeah. Yes, bro. Trent Williams was walking around trying to fuck everything up, dude. Mm-hmm. I was so pissed off. Like, being a young cat, you can't do nothing. You're like, yo, come on, man. You got everything. Like, look. I'm supposed to be here. I was
there's
like,
that guy at the end too that ends up with like way, way more than you think anybody should have. And you're like,
yeah.
Where the fuck did you get all the?
Yeah, they're like scamming the fucking people. Yeah, like, man, I was winning. Like, get the fuck out of here. No, you weren't.
Yeah,
we don't do shit like that over here.
Yeah.
I only got to do that 1 year, but Taylor, it was the most fun, dude. Like, that's the way to do a post-training camp celebration.
Dude, I got to get on raves about that, man. We got to have a big cellar like that. That'd be awesome. Have a big booze fest with the boys.
Yeah. Dude, it's a
good time. They do the Christmas party up there like that here. I never been to the Christmas party, though, so I don't have any room to talk. It is what it is. You said Trent Williams. How did that like whole thing go down when you were talking to everybody? Like, did you tell the 49ers, like, hey, like, I'm going to retire. Like, you should find a replacement for me. You should go get Trent.
No. So, I mean, I was kind of going through the whole process in the offseason. I knew my neck was pretty fucked up during the end of the year. And it got pretty bad in the playoffs and Super Bowl. And so I knew I was going to have to go see a bunch of doctors after the year to kind of figure out what was going on. And so once I did that, I was in constant communication with the Niners and stuff while I was doing all that stuff. So they knew that I was thinking about, retirement. And then I set a deadline basically for myself to make the decision by the draft. And so I think they were already working on it, obviously, and they kind of had a contingency plan, but they were expecting me to kind of come back. And then I told them, like a week before the draft, you know, I made my decision, talked to everybody, told them it was 100% and to move on and do what they needed to do. And then I think they already had that kind of piece to fall back on. And then, you know, once they got the word from me, they just moved forward with it and able to get that done. And I think Trent really wanted to be with Kyle again too.
So you actually, so they were waiting on you to say, yeah, I'm for sure out. They actually had that thing all in place.
I'm not sure exactly what, like, you know, their timetable was as far as, like, if they already had it in place or whatever, but I know they had probably, because they were already aware that I was, there was a possibility that I was going to be retiring that offseason, so I think they were kind of doing their, you know, diligence on everybody and their options if I did. So once I said yes, they just, you know, moved forward with it and got the deal done.
Yeah, well, that's a hell of an option to have like, yeah, you know, one Hall of Fame guy go out to another Hall of Fame guy go in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how like, lucky is that for the 49ers, dude? And they did it on, like, a trade that, like, what was, like, a third and a fifth round pick?
Yeah, a third and a fifth. I mean, Laramie went for 2 firsts, and then they got Trent Williams for a third and a fifth.
How about that contract, dude? Did that not make you want to go, like, hey, I'll go for another round?
Like, go for a 3-4.
Hey, I'll do another lap, though.
Hey, I'll do another lap. Yeah, did you know this year was going to be the last year?
No, I did not. I mean, I didn't know, because I just knew that, you know, I broke my leg, whatever, and then missed some games, and I came back, and you know, I had to get finger surgery of all fucking things and missed some games, and then, but when I was coming back, my neck and my back were, like, starting to really, like, hurt a ton. And I was just thinking that it was just because I was out of football and I wasn't really playing. I was just going to get back into it. And then it just kept on progressively getting worse. So I knew that I was probably going to have to, you know, get something done, or, like, you know, probably going to have an injury or whatever after the season to deal with. And then when I went and saw these doctors, though, it was like I realized how serious it was. And they were kind of like, you know, if you continue to play, you're going to really do some, you know, long-term damage. So it was kind of a decision, basically, with a bunch of different opinions and all that stuff.
Was it more of a structural thing, or was it like a nerve? You don't need to go into the details of it, but, like, was it like you were getting a bunch of stingers, or were you, like, just couldn't even turn your neck?
It was all of that stuff. I mean, it was a bunch of stingers. Like, when I was playing games, it was like, it got to the point where in the Super Bowl, like, I'd made contact with my head with anybody. Like, I'd have from the base of my neck down to my back, I'd have, like, just a zing, and, like, my arms would go numb. But I ended up, basically, it was like I had herniations at, like, a bunch of different levels, and then really severe stenosis. And then the guy was like, you know, if you're gonna have to, you know, continue to play football, you're probably gonna have to have neck fusion surgery at multiple levels. And I was just like, I'm 35 and I got kids. I don't want to not be able to turn my neck for the rest of my life. So
that's crazy putting that into perspective, huh?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
It was kind of a shock, because I wasn't, like you said, I was not expecting it. And so I wasn't, like, telling anybody, like, hey, man, this is my last season or whatever. It was just, like, kind of all came suddenly right away.
Yeah, you can tell it was a shock to a lot of people the way Kittle's video to you came out.
Yeah, what a dude.
Yo, Kittle, if you just watch that video, say you have no context, you just watched George Kittle's video. Like, you just, maybe you just came over here from America and you watched George Kittle's video. You're thinking, oh, this guy must have died.
Exactly.
Hey, this Joe Staley guy.
I was like, it is really nice. I didn't die, though. I mean, I'm still going to talk to you, bud.
Hey, yeah, I know. Yo, shout out George Kittle. He came on, too. But yeah, I was watching, and I was like, man, it was really good words by him. It was awesome. But I'm sitting there like, yo, this kid, I mean, this is like a funeral speech, dude.
Exactly. That's why I was telling my wife, too. I was like, I feel like, one of my best friends from the league, I don't know if you guys know Daniel Kilgore, he just got cut from Miami, though, but he was with Miami. But I played with him for, like, 8 years in San Francisco. And he was – so he was down in Miami, like, packing up his house. And so he has a kid and he has a wife, and they're up in Tennessee. So he's by himself down in Miami packing up his house, and he's drinking throughout the day when this whole thing is going on Saturday. And so he's like – texting me, he's like, dude, he keeps on sending me, like, pictures and, like, a video of, like, when we were playing together and stuff. And he's like, man, I'm just going through, like, these old times, man. And it's just like, you just had a special career, and it was, like, you know, real cool. And then at the end of, like, the day and the night, he's like, starts texting me, like, man, I don't know why I'm just getting so emotional over here. I can't control it, man. And I called him, and I, like, FaceTimed him, and he seriously was sitting there in his house, drunk off his ass, crying. And it's like, I'm like, dude, I'm not fucking dead. Like, I'm just retired.
Dude, that's so sweet.
Oh, man, but I just love you, bro.
That's crazy, the amount of people you affected, though. That's like, people legit think you're dead now.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, he's alive. He's alive, guys.
He's alive. He's in the pod.
I'm alive. I'm risen.
He's got to feel good,
it's
though.
It's been 4 days. One longer than Jesus. You did it.
I did it.
That was a nice, solid joke. Solid joke by the boy. It's got to feel good though, knowing you've impacted people in that way. Like, you know, I've read some things the past few days on you, and you're just known as, like, you have all these accolades, 6 Pro Bowls, you played 13 years, you've been part of this, part of that, you've done everything as an individual, but you're also like the ultimate teammate and seems like the ultimate friend to a lot of these guys. It's got to feel good knowing that people are like paying homage. You know what I mean? Shout you out.
It was really actually pretty overwhelming this weekend because I don't know. It's like, and I think a lot of people have like similar experiences that you don't really understand, or aren't aware of how you're being watched and how you're affecting other people. You know, I'm not trying to, the way I act and communicate with people is not because I'm doing something and trying to like, hey, you know, when I retire, I hope you guys remember this and say nice things about me. Yeah. The way you are. So you're not really aware of like how people are perceiving you. And you just, you know, I'm just always try to treat people with respect and, you know, be a friend and a teammate for them and try to motivate them in different ways when I was playing with them. And it was really kind of overwhelming because you didn't realize, I didn't realize how, you know, impactful some of my, you know, words that I would say to some people or just the way that I acted and carried myself in the building were to some people. So, you know, that was really cool. You know, it definitely was meaningful for me just to, you know, kind of reminisce and go over a lot of stories. And, you know, it's a long time, man. 13 years is there's a lot of people you come in contact with and meet. And, you know, Taylor, you guys will both have a similar experience. You know, when you guys are done after a long career, it's just going to be a weird transition because realize how many people that you've been fortunate enough to be around.
Yeah, I can't even think about that right now. It's like, I've thought to myself about like, man, what happens when you retire? Like, what are you going to do? It's like, you just think like, especially when you're in high school and you realize like football is what you want to do. Like, you just think that that shit lasts forever. Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm going to play football and then eventually I'll just die. And that'll be it.
Yeah.
And I could, apparently, because everybody gave me the
We got the footage. We got the speeches all prepared, dude.
The eulogies everywhere. It's sad. Sad to see you go, man. Sad to be talking to a ghost right now.
I know.
It's crazy to think, though, like you spend 20-something years of your life preparing for a career. On average, that lasts 3.5. You fortunately played 13. Taylor, you're going to play a shitload.
Play 14. And then, like, I'll play 14.
And then when you're done, like you said, you're what, 30, 30, what
35.
Are you? You're 35 years old. Yeah. Like, you know, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, you haven't even lived half your life. Yeah, and we've spent our entire life like just prepared, like just wanting to do this one thing. Like Taylor said, you prepare, like you think you're gonna play football and then you're gonna die. And it's like, yo, you're not even really, you haven't even lived half your life yet.
Yeah. And what's funny and almost a little bit scary is that you've done this thing for your whole life and reached probably the highest level that you can at what your chosen profession is. And that's what everybody's like preparing for after college, is like what they want to do and like use that degree that they get in college to like, you know, prepare themselves for like the workforce for the rest of their life. And they start all off to like the same level here. You know, we've reached the highest pinnacle of what our chosen profession is. And then all of a sudden you have 30 years left of your like working life. And you're going to have to start over again at like the tiniest, smallest, like intro level job and start all over. And that's a little bit daunting.
Now shout out the boys at Roback, which is pronounced Roback, like Brogan Roback. Roback Activewear is new and they're for the fucking boys. The guys over at Roback Activewear have been sending us some of their performance tees, polos, Q-zip pullovers, and I'll be honest, my favorite one is their little dog logo rope hat. Roback has been the undercover brand founded by friends of Barstool that is low-key sneaky, taking over the office because their fabric is so damn soft and it's dual-threat activewear, which is the best fit and the best feel. Robex gear starting to pop up all over the league. Baker Mayfield repping the hat at the Indians games. Sam Hubbard repping their polos on the golf course. Even Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. Shout out the Nebraska fucking Cornhuskers, dude. Zach Taylor was rocking a Robex Q-Zip at the combine. Their gear is legit, and this is not surprising that everybody's starting to wear it. Robex performance tees are some of the softest tees I've ever fucking seen. They have silver yarn embedded in the into the fabric. Shout out silver, no free shoutouts. This basically means that you can sweat in their tees for a few days in a row, boys. Listen to me. You can sweat in their tees for a few days in a row, and they won't start smelling. That's fucking huge. Robex polos and Q-zips are unbelievable, too. Their Q-zips are incredibly comfortable, and the polos aren't your typical boxy golf dad look. Wicking fabric, stiff collars, and apparently the founders went through 20 iterations to make the collar the perfect stiffness, and you boys know about that perfect stiffness, so it lasts forever. If it lasts over 4 hours, call a doctor. So you will need some Robex. So whether you're playing Madden on the couch or going for a run, Robex has you covered with some of the most comfortable gear in the game. Also, shout out Robex dog logo and the Robex ridge on the back of their shirts. They're dog people, and so are we. Shout out to dog people. Use the code BUSSIN on Robex.com for a generous 20% off through the end of this week. That's spelled RHOBACK.com. That's 20% off all polos, Q-zips, and tees with code BUSSIN. They just released some fire performance polos and new Q-zips, perfect for the warm weather rolling in. So go check them out at Robex.com. Last, the team Robex congratulates the boys on joining the Barstool fam. Shout out the boys, man. But yeah, go to Robex.com, RHOBACK.com. You're welcome. 20% off, code BUSSIN. Amir Abdullah, he's a running back with the Vikings. I was talking to him the other day on like Instagram Live, and we were kind of on this topic. And like you said, you basically start over. We start over in a sense, right? But we've reached the pinnacle. Like we've ridden this roller coaster that's just, we've had this chase to get to the top, and we've gotten there. And it's like you get done and you're trying to find like that next passion that's going to take you on that ride again, because we've experienced something that, you know, very few people do. And a lot of athletes have so much trouble transitioning because it's like, you just can't, it's like chasing a high. It's like, yeah, you got to reignite some passion that you studied in one area for 20 some odd years to get to the top. And then when you're done, you gotta like, I don't know, use everything you've learned and try to find a new passion in your life that kind of gets to that level of the high you've been at before. If that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's really hard to do, and I think it's a lot of people that I've heard that have been retired is like have given me the advice of like don't try to chase that, because it's almost impossible to like recreate. Yeah. That, you know, you're gonna have to have like competitive outlets and stuff like that in some capacity, but you know, to find that, unless you're gonna become like a musician, you know, we're entertainers, and basically what our sport is, it's like entertainment that we, you know, entertain the masses. We're modern gladiators, and there's not professions that are out there that you're performing for millions of people at what you do.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's going to be key to like find some competitive outlets and all that, but I don't have any kind of dreams of, you know, chasing that high again. You know, I lived that and it was definitely a fun ride, but I think what I would like to do obviously is like use all that knowledge that I acquired over the years of just, you know, trying to play football at a high level and try to like use that knowledge and try to pay it forward to, you know, guys coming out of college and, you know, do like some training with them. And then I think maybe down the road, I could get my wife around it a little bit, but, you know, try to get into coaching. I think it'll be fun. I'd probably be, you know, I'd probably start out as like a grunt guy, and then I'd work my way to be an assistant offensive line coach for the Titans, make Taylor's life a living hell. And then
I would love it,
because of all the positive work that I did with him, can get me to head along coach job. That's awesome.
Hey, we'll get you in there. That's Sully's job right now. You trying to take Sully's job?
By that time, hopefully he's an O-line coach or an OC somewhere.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you walked in the door and you're like, "Hey, what's up? I'm your O-line coach," I'd be like, "Fuck, he did it." He fucking did it.
He did it. He fucking did it.
He said he was going to do it, and he did it, dude. That shit would be crazy. I'd fly it.
Buckle up. Your fucking joyride's over.
Yeah. Hope you had fun, Milan. I'm here. Well, shit. I mean, if you're a couple of years out from doing that, you start as a grunt guy. I'm saying at least got 4 or 5 years. I'll be in year 12 or 13 then.
That would be perfect. That'd be perfect timing. I can guide you gently through the twilight of your career.
Did you? Tell you
what it's gonna be like.
Taylor, he could be a fill-in. He could be a fill-in too. He could be on the bus.
Yeah, honestly, because Will and I were talking about this when you and I were texting after you retired, like, and you were like, "Hey, get me on the bus." I was like, "That's so crazy. He wants to be on it." And I was like, "I know you've done a lot of like publicity stuff. Like, I see you in the Pepsi commercials. You doing TV shows and all that. Like, why not do a podcast, dude? It's easy. It's fun." You can do a specific football one where you just talk shop, and you can teach those younger kids before you transition to being a coach.
Oh, you guys are offering me a job right now on air.
There's no reason that we can't bussing with the boys. Like, the boys can't be branched out in different areas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And where does it stop? I mean, you start adding me, and then all of a sudden you got 4 or 5 more guys, and then it's just bussing with the group of boys.
Bussing with the boys, though, you know what I'm saying? Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's like, I don't know, I can't think of it right now. But when Taylor was saying that, I was like, because me personally, I knew you. I knew you were a good football player, but since you were like on the West Coast in San Fran, I actually identified you and followed you based on your YouTube videos back when I was younger. That's how I knew who you were. I thought you were a funny cat. I thought you had solid jokes. You kind of did the whole YouTube channel thing. You know, you're kind of an OG. You've been around the block a while. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I always thought you were real humorous then. And that's how I got to know who you were, just based on your locker room presence and doing, like, you know, doing little skits, doing little bits.
I used to love doing that because they used to – we had a guy that was doing the videos for the Niners at the time, and he asked me to do that. And they didn't cut anything. So they just, like, put whatever I did. And so I started kind of, like, pushing. Because at first it starts off and you're just kind of like – you know, you're just interviewing your teammates and you're asking them whatever. But then they start, you know, I start throwing a little like sarcastic joke in there and they don't cut it. And then I'm like, okay, I can get away with some more here. And so then it just turned into like basically me roasting my teammates. And they used to like not cut that at all. And so I tried to bring it back. I cut it for a little bit and stopped doing it because we were losing. And I was like, oh, that's kind of bad shit.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that's tough. Taylor faced that this year, dude.
Like, oh, God, we're 2-14 and we're out here joking about everything. So I kind of took it away for a while. And then I started bringing it back and they started, you know, the times have changed and everything's kind of like PC now. So they started cutting a lot of like the stuff that I would put in there because I don't know, they thought I was like being too, mean to my teammates or whatever. So, you know,
Taylor, everybody else thinking what I'm thinking
on and loved it, but I think they just didn't want to put it on the official channel. So I just stopped.
Guess who doesn't cut it?
We don't.
Yeah.
We don't. Busting with the boys, cut. We don't. You can be who you want to be.
Joe, watch this. Joe, watch this. Penis. That's going to be on there.
Penis, vagina, vagina.
Whoa. Hey, penis is fine, but vagina, I don't know, man. That's a little heavy.
Hey, you heard Vrabel talking about cutting his
purple-headed paddywhacker.
Dude, it would be so easy for you to do a podcast. So easy.
Yeah, you could, be fun.
The Joe Show 2.0, like Pat McAfee Show 2.0. Bang.
You guys have the best setup of any podcast that I've seen, though. That little thing that you guys have, the bus, the
visual.
Yeah, it's
visual, a vehicle, not a thing. It's a vehicle.
The optics on that are unbelievable.
Yeah. It was
– where did you find
I don't remember whose idea it was, but it's the best idea any one of us have ever had in our entire lives.
Listen, Taylor, I don't shy away from giving you the credit that you deserve, bro. Taylor found that bus. I said no at first because I'm thinking, how do we get equipment? Because when we found it was behind a garage, like over in Nashville, like one of our buddies, Juice. Shout out, Juice. You saw the bus. And he's like, hey, you think you guys would want to buy this? Like, you know, that could be cool. I was like, I don't want to, but I know when Taylor sees the bus, he's going to want to buy it because that's the boy. We went out there and Taylor's like, oh, this thing fucking rips, dude. He's like, yo, we should buy this, right? I was like, I'm one of those guys. I'm like, I don't know, man. How are we going to get everything on there? Because it wasn't like it was a shithole. Rusted,
yeah.
Wasp pies, beehives, everything.
Families of squirrels.
Right. And Taylor's like, Taylor's like, we'll fix it up. We'll do the inside. If it doesn't work, I'll just have a fuck. I'll have a bus to myself because I'll take this thing. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And Taylor handled the crew to get on there. Shout out Jeff and the boys. They decked it out. We bought furniture and stuff for it. And the juice in them at Cardboard Films, they got it workable for a podcast. And it is, dude. It's a fucking hit because the boy Taylor wanted to take a shot on that thing.
Dude, that thing is awesome. It's just such a diamond in the rough, dude. It's painted basically – it was painted red. Now it's burnt orange because of all that sun damage. It's like absolutely – it's perfect. Earnhardt Budweiser on the side with the big eight. But I'll tell you what, there's stickers on top of that bus that are like as about as racist as they get.
We had to cover them up.
We did like purple tape and like put it – and I like taped it all up. It was so bad, dude. But it's been awesome. Like it's so much fun to do. It's so easy. You get to meet the coolest people. It's a blast, dude. You would thrive.
Strictly like sports, or you guys just do like anybody that's interested?
Anybody
that's interested.
We did Chase Rice yesterday. We've had Dale Earnhardt came on a couple weeks ago. I mean everybody. We do anybody.
We've done MMA fighters, we've done football players, we've done singers, songwriters. We have like a side thing now called Picking with the Boys that like comes out twice a week, which hasn't come out this week.
One comes out tonight.
Let's go, Alex. Shout out Alex, our production Twitter guy, for fucking it up. Shout out Alex. Yes, Alex. Woo! You fucked it up. Yes. Anyway, we have like a little Picking with the Boys thing with singer songwriters get on here and they play original music, dude. It's a blast. It's like, it's so fun, and we got a good crew of people that are helping us out too. Even Alex, who I just shit on.
And Alex is just taking it.
He's in mute right now, dude. Just cursing me out.
Joe and the boys. Joe and the boys.
Yeah, Joe Show 2.0.
No, that's not doing that.
He's not in it. He's out. Will, he's out.
Hey, it's recruiting's never over. Recruiting season's never over. We got his number,
dude,
now.
As soon as this thing ends, dude.
Yeah, I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
I just want you to have it.
If I can do it from the comfort of my house, I mean, I'm
beautiful.
You care.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, but once this whole thing ends, that's going to be a little bit weird. What are you going to have me like just over a loudspeaker or like floating above you on a computer screen, just being like,
no. Like you'll have your own thing. You'll have your own thing, dude. It'll be yours, but we're just partnered. So it's just like you're branding. You're building it out. We're building this beautiful thing with each other.
Busting with everybody.
Hey, people helping people, that's powerful stuff.
That's right.
That's my mantra.
Is it?
Okay. Who?
No, I like that.
Wedding Crashers.
It is Wedding Crashers. Okay, so you've had, it's so hard to figure out exact questions because you've played since fucking dinosaurs were alive.
Yeah.
What would you say, what was your hardest Super Bowl loss between, you've been in two, right?
Jesus.
This last one.
But you've been in two Super Bowls, right? The one against the Ravens and then this
one. Yeah, the one against the Ravens and then, this last one. I don't know. Actually, they're both really tough. I mean, the first one was just so hard because we were so close. I mean, we came back. We were down 28-6. Came back.
You had the momentum.
We had all the momentum. We had that drive at the end of the game. We had like a first and goal from the 7. And we were all in the huddle, like, seriously, like, dude, we're about to be world champions. We're just going to, you know, get this ball in. And then it didn't happen. And, like, to be that close and lose. But then this last one was the same way. We were up 20-10, 7 minutes left, and kind of fell apart at the end. So, fuck. Like, I'd rather get, like, blown out in those situations than.
Well, the lights went off in that first one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fuck.
If the Tennessee Titans beat the Kansas City Chiefs the AFC Championship game.
God damn it, dude.
Who wins that game, the 49ers or the Titans? Who's that?
We would have dominated you.
Heard you the first time. Stop repeating yourself. You're wrong. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Were you hoping the Titans won, Joe?
I walked into that one.
the Titans, we have the same exact offense.
Yeah.
Our defense was very dominant against the run. Derrick Henry is hotter than hot, dude.
Yeah.
He was hotter than hot. He was like, what's his name from Zoolander?
Shut down every single running back.
Okay. Hey, Joe. Okay. But we were hot, dude. And we were getting East and West.
We were hot.
East and West, dude. I don't know. I think if Nick Bosa and I went in a foot race, I think I beat Nick Bosa in a foot race.
Who gives a shit about a foot race? Just run your ass
off. Well, laterally, I got to run so I can reach him.
hey, hang on. Let me mediate this. Joe, were you hoping the Titans beat the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Why, Joe? Why were you hoping?
I thought it was an easier path to the title.
You scared of that? You scared of that?
Mahomes is very hot.
Hansel, he's so hot right now.
He's so hot right now.
God. I'll tell you what, you know who else was hot? Derrick Henry.
He was. He was very
Ryan hot. Tannehill.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans offensive line.
Well, you guys were kind of, yeah. I mean, you guys were like the light version of us.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, you guys were like, you trying to run the ball, and you guys ran the ball, but then we had to go and like ran the ball like 50 times in a game. You guys would do it, you know, it was like 35. That was cute, but then we did it like 50. It was like you guys were just trying to like, you know, be what we already were.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you could say that, or you could say that you guys needed 50 times to win. We only needed 38 times to win. We're more diverse.
Yeah, but then we won, and you guys lost.
Yeah, but you guys also – who'd you play?
Packers.
First-time head coach. Shout out Matt LaFleur. Absolutely love that guy.
Yeah, it's how tough. Can you shit on Matt, man? Matt's a fucking
– I didn't shit on him. I literally just said first-time
you
head said coach.
You dismissed him. You went, first-time head coach.
No, don't do that. Don't put words in my mouth.
You did. Hey, you did.
I did not want words put in my mouth. Packers have very good defensive ends. I don't want to play them in 2 years or 1 year or whenever I played them. And yeah, they pinned this up with me with the stupid bandana on. Hey, this fucking guy was talking shit. Like, was it May? Late April 2020.
I will say this. When we played them and we ended up, like, the game plan was kind of like that week was like, we're gonna have to run the ball to win the game. And then we went out there. I didn't know we were going to have to run the ball, like, 50 times. And then we were
going
to
have to run
50 times. But I was so fucking happy because how – talented those guys on the edge are. I was like, in an NFC title game, having to go against these two guys that are just going to be fucking pass rushing and no passes coming, like, we better be able to run the ball. And so when it kind of worked out that way, I was just like, fuck, thank God.
Oh, need that. That's definitely a feeling that all offensive linemen go through. Like, all right, we're running the ball this week and back and forth. And then, like, under our breath, like, we fucking better have to run the ball this week. You know, anytime that's a key, it's like,
yeah, I've also heard it the other way, though, where it's like, we're going to run the ball this week. And then the game comes and you end up having like 8 rushes the whole entire game. We're like, what the fuck, man?
What are we doing out there? What are we doing?
You're in the cold tub, like, we're supposed to run the fucking ball all game.
Dude, I remember one game we had in 2011 or 12. It was JPP's rookie year. We were playing the Giants, and they had JPP.
Hey, that was all 10 fingers, JPP, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was all 10 in grip strength and crazy move, JPP. And then they had Osi Umiore, and I probably messed up his name, and then Justin Tuck. And I remember going into the game, and that was like they were rolling, and I was like, shit, we're gonna have to run the ball. Like, we can't just sit back and like let these guys pin their ears back. And we get into the game, we get our first 15 the night before. I'm not kidding you, the first 12 plays were 5 or 7 step dropbacks, the first 12 plays of the game. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
I had never had a night of sleep like that night, the night before.
Yeah, I was gonna say, dude, you can't sleep when that shit comes up.
It's like, oh my God, what the hell?
The night before when they pop it up and they're like adjusting on the screen to make sure it fits. All right, here we go. Yep. All right, first play, you're looking, it's like key right, key left, 64, 65, 2-jet, 3-jet. You're just like, fuck, dude.
And they're like, talking about like double moves from the receivers and you're just like, Jesus Christ, you're going to like a 6-second drop back here.
Coach like points you out, hey, Joe, need you to hold up here, all right? It's going to be 3-jet. We got Sale on here. You know it's a 7-step drop. You know it's going to be a big deal. Yeah. And you're just like, And you're like, you got it, Coach. You're like,
hey, this is why we pay you. This is why we pay you.
Are
right
we
here.
Not playing Khalil Mack? Are we? Is he not going to be on the field for the first play of the game?
Yeah. Imagine if you said that, like, hey, Joe, we're going to have to lean on you during this on this three jet right here. Hey, is Khalil Mack out? Oh no, he's not. What are we fucking doing, boys? Then what the fuck are we doing?
On the other flip side, though, it's amazing how jacked up offensive linemen get when you do that first 15 like script, and they're all runs or like three-step drops or keepers, and it's just like one after the other, and you're like, let's go, we're gonna dominate. It's like,
you guys better be fucking ready tomorrow. Better be fucking like all the pressure's like, off you.
All the offensive linemen, yeah.
Go.
Yeah, big time leader now.
Yeah, you go to bed, you sleep really well. And then it's like
first play of the game is like a boot.
Yeah.
You're like,
Fuck nothing juices you up more than a boot. And you like make
nothing
all your
gets
balls,
me going.
Make your run calls at the line of scrimmage. It's like, oh yeah, here we go.
Yeah. Hey, deuce. Guy fucking three technique digs in a little bit. You're like, hey, stupid, as the ball's being snapped. Dude, that's literally like so true. Every offensive lineman goes through that. I'll tell you what I love too is that three-step drops in like early in the game. Because you get a feel, okay, how are my hands doing today?
Yeah.
How are my feet doing today? Like, and you're like, boom, boom, punch. You're not afraid to punch.
You're not afraid to punch. Throw your hands. They go upfield. It's like whatever. But yeah. On the flip side of that, though, is like when you have a three-step drop and you're like, all right, how are my hands feeling? You throw them. And the guy like fucking blows by you or like throws them. You're like, oh, shit.
You put him out there. You're just like, oh, shit. He's fucking ready today, and you're like, you say something to your boy like, guy's a pussy, right? In your head you're like, fuck, dude, I'm in for a bit of a deal today. I better lock this shit up. Some guy you've never heard of too.
Oh, it's always that. It's always
because when you play the dudes that are like the fucking the Khalil Max, the Von Millers, you're like watching, okay, Von likes to spin every third time, like he loves speed to spin. Okay, Khalil Max loves the power off chips, loves the power, and you watch all that and it's like, all right, 57. I don't know who the fuck that guy is. All right, we'll go to the next guy. And then, like, you get 57 the first play of the game, and you're like, fuck it, I'm just going to get this guy. The quick two-hand punch to his chest, no biggie. Lay those fuckers out there, and he's like, chop, stab, like, swim. You're like, a short corner of the first round. You're like, what the fuck is this guy doing, man?
Yeah, I had that experience with Everson Griffin's first year.
And
He was a backup. He was, like, a third-round pick. And so we played him, I think. It must have been, I don't know if it was preseason or if it was like first couple of weeks. And so he didn't have any film out there. And so I was like not watching him. And he would come in like, he was like the rotational guy. So he would come in like every third series. And so, you know, I'm studying the guys I'm going against. And then all of a sudden, you know, Everson comes in. I'm like, all right, not that you're taking it lightly, but you're just like, okay, now that, you know, starter's not in. And then he comes out and I remember feeling his bull rush for the first time. And I was like, what the fuck? And then it got to the point where you're like, thankful that he's leaving the game. I'm like, what the? I'm telling like the other guys in the team, like, why is he not playing?
They're like, like third down comes up, first down, get like 2 yards, second down, get like 2 yards, third and six. Like you're peeking like, all right, where is he? Is he coming out here? Thank God. All right, we're good. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's so funny, man. All the other O-lineman things, like when you break the huddle and you got guys that are, like, switching sides and one's obviously better than the other. But
yeah.
They switch sides all the time. And so you're sitting on a third down and you're just, like, you're kind of peeking over your shoulder and you're seeing, like, who you're going to get. And then, like, you break the huddle and you see, like, Bond go to the other side and you're like, fuck yeah, let's go.
In your head, you're like, let's go, boys. Like, you say a little something to them. Let's go, boy. Hey, third and 12, we got this.
Come on, buckle up, McGlinchey. Let's go.
That's the worst one. You're like, well, like, I don't know about you, but when I play, like, as much film as I watch, I'm always like, I have keys in my head. Like, all right, with this guy, I need to get at least this many sets in before I punch. Like, hey, watch this, maybe flash a play or something like that. Like, I'll have like a key in my head. Like, all right, this guy. But it's the worst. Like you're saying, like you're in the huddle, and they'll stand right in the middle, like where the nose is, and so he's like looking, waiting to see where the wide goes, and you're like. You call the play and you get up to the line. He like looks and goes over there. Fuck, dude. All right. We're doing this. That shit's fucking crazy. Yeah.
And then when the quarterback at the line of scrimmage like flips the protection where you're on the man side.
Yeah, dude. Or like, yeah, you get like a chip. You get like a chip on the right side, but you're sliding to your side. You're like, all right, fuck yeah, dude. That's all good. Everyone gets what they need here. And then he like checks it. Hey, yeah. No, check Ron, Ron. You're like, all right, son of a bitch. You're sitting there by yourself.
I won't miss all that.
What's that?
I won't miss all that.
Dude.
Those little,
when you're on, though, when you're on and your hands are good and your set's fucking tight and you're just like, you get that confidence in the second quarter.
Oh, yeah.
There's no high like that.
Yeah, no.
When you're in your mind, you're like, yo, no one can really stop me right now. Yeah, go ahead and slide right.
Games like that where it's like in the third quarter and you're like in the huddle and you're like looking up. I'm like looking up at my wife and like dancing. I'm like, this is fucking easy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, dude. Yeah. I start that way in the first quarter and sometimes it goes downhill.
Yeah.
Gets real bad.
Every single defensive lineman comes on the sideline is always like, he just won't fucking shut up.
Yeah. Who said that?
Like every D lineman over the years has been like, he just talks. He's talking nonstop.
That's awesome. Do you talk a lot in the field?
Mm-mm.
You don't say a word?
No, I'm more like subtle jabs, kind of like sarcastic. Like,
what's your best trick?
We're like, I will know and he will know that that was not a good rush, but I'll be like, oh, dude, that was fucking Jesus. I don't know how I stopped that. Fuck. Sarcastic like stuff like that, but I didn't really talk a whole lot.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah,
fucking.
That was a great segment of offensive line play.
Yeah, appreciate you coming in.
Hey, when I'm sitting up in my futon, like my freaking low back gets tight. So when you guys were just, I just felt like I'm like, hey, this isn't going anywhere anytime soon. I just fucking sat back. I'm like, oh,
just broing out on some O-line nuances.
I know, right? Shit.
The night before we
worry about it as backers, it's just like, are we going to check the zone if these motherfuckers go empty?
That's it?
Yeah, the night before, what you sweat over, it's like any type of man-to-man situations that you might possibly be in. Because as a backer, you're like, you get to play in the box. You get to
just hoping that it's the blocking tight end and not fucking George.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like when they motion out and you know a safety's blitzing, you just like, you're like asking your D coordinator, like, hey, you sure, you know, you sure you want me to run out there with the old buddy, with the running back out there on the island, or the safety can go take and I can take his blitz?
Damn.
And last but not least, dude, my favorite ad read. I can't be biased because I love them all, but I have a little bias toward the Manscaping boys. Shout out Manscaped. No free shout outs, dude. Flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to mow your lawn. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped. You can trim the hedges below the belt safely and efficiently. I'm talking about them ball trimmers, dude. Manscaped is here to make your balls smooth and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning, boys. You got their Lawnmower 3.0, and I love the 3.0, dude. I was in last week, so it's been a week now. But you go in, they got that nice little blue LED light. You're trimming your balls, dude. You're trimming the boys below because your little boys are for the boys or for the big boy. And, you know, you just – they got this ceramic blade, so you don't have to worry about cutting yourself because you know how it is. You might cut yourself. You start bleeding. You got to get in the shower. Water kind of hits it. It continues to bleed. You start kind of panicking a little bit because blood doesn't stop, but you realize it's just the water causing it. You don't have any of those problems with Manscaped. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-belt waist grooming, and they have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. Precision engineered tools for your family jewels. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0 that I was just talking about. It's waterproof, cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This third generation trimmer, God, that fires me up because I'm third generation. This third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are being saved because you got this nick-free product thanks to Manscaped. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll also find the Crop Preserver, the anti-chafing ball deodorant moisturizer. It smells phenomenal. Your girl will love it, or girls. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial so your ball stops sticking to your leg. And as our treat, you'll find a Crop Reviver, which will keep your balls smelling fresh, just like spring flowers, dude. Subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivery to your door every 3 months. So all you gotta do is subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new replacement blade every 3 months. Make sure your trimming always stays
hygienic and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts, the Shed travel bag, which is a $39 value, and a patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped boxer briefs. This is a perfect package for your little perfect package, dude. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUSSIN, B-U-S-S-I-N, at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use these tools, dude. Get these tools in your life. I swear to God, it'll change your life. 20% off free shipping. Code BUSSIN at manscaped.com. That's B-U-S-S-I-N. It's spring cleaning, baby, and your balls will thank you. Now back to the pod.
I know we're basically at an hour right now, so we'll let you go in a second. But like, who is your favorite teammate of all time? Who's the dude that you're like, this is my fucking boy? Let me rephrase that. Let me stop that. Where's McGlinchey at in that list?
McGlinchey's up there. He knows that he's not the top, which kills him.
Yeah, no question.
But it's hard to you play so many years with certain players, and you know, a guy like Frank Gore meant so much to me in my career because of, like, when I came in as a rookie, he was going into year three. He just came off with 1,600 yards rushing. He just an unbelievable dude. But then I saw, like, the way that he worked and, like, the example that he set for the team. And, like, he's the same exact person that he was his rookie year as he is in year 15. Just the work ethic that he had, just watching him from a distance, you know, kind of just the way that he approached the game. He had a huge impact on my career. Then we became a lot closer and, you know, more friends. You know, obviously, like, close friends once we played eight years together. But in that O-line room, you know, you got so many different guys. You got, like, Mike Capati and Dan Kilgore, super close. And then, you know, McGlinchey was, like, just a little brother. I don't have any brothers, but he was, like, probably what I'd imagine having a little brother was. He was this kind of guy that I would, like, you know, give shit to all the time, fucking pick on all the time. But, you know, one of those guys that you tell him anything. We got to be really close.
That's epic. Village is a good dude, man. He and I went surfing together a couple times in Encinitas, and he only had good things to say about you.
Yeah, he better.
Jesus Christ.
What was your favorite locker room year?
The favorite what?
Your favorite room? Your favorite year in the locker room? Your favorite locker room you've been a part of?
The year we had in 2011 was really special just because everybody, like, we were shit forever. And none of us, a lot of the guys that were there had, like, not really experienced any kind of success. And then all of a sudden we went from being shit. Harbaugh got there. We went 13-3 that year. So just like the ride of that, everybody kind of enjoying that, you know, that high that you're talking about, like, just winning all of a sudden from being, like, shit football team to being really good. And that was really fun. And then this last year, just as far as, like, the guys in the room, it was a really special locker room just because of the personalities and stuff and kind of seeing how people dealt with, you know, the same kind of things. It was fun for me to be in a different perspective, being an older player, kind of already having experienced some success, but a lot of, like, those guys had not, you know, like, seeing how George's personality kind of came into his own. You know, he starts having some success and the team's having success, and it was just fun coming to work.
I still have two more. Taylor, you got any?
Yeah, who's the best tackle in the NFL now, Joe, that you're gone?
You.
I appreciate that. That's all I needed. Carry on.
I'm not lying, though. I mean, I'm not lying.
Do you really think so? Hang on, yeah. Taylor, you don't say it. You don't do any speaking. You really think Taylor's the best tackle? I'm not trying to do any. I just want him to stay out of it.
I think you, and I really like Bakhtiari's game. But I've known Bakhtiari since, he was like a sophomore in high school. But I've always watched, and I told you this at the Pro Bowl, actually, that I've always watched your tape. Like, I thought when you were a rookie, I thought you came in and was like, it was hard for me to watch guys when I was younger because I felt like I was a smaller tackle before smaller tackles kind of came a thing. There was a lot of guys that were like 330, 340. And I didn't think I could really kind of like translate my game to what they were doing or take pieces from what they were doing. But when you came in, I always watched and studied what you were doing because I thought your hand placement and like how you punch and like you're always in balance. Like that's something I always envied in my game and tried to attain, but I could never do it like you could. So I would say you. And I really love the way that you play the game, because you play it like how I think it should be. It's not like a focus on pass pro or a focus on run game. It's like a complete lineman. Like, you do both things well, and I think that doesn't get talked about enough. Everybody just talks about, like, oh, this guy's a great pass protector, and that's what makes a great tackle. But, like, you got to be able to do, especially in the offenses we play, like, you got to be able to do both at a really high level, and you do. So enough feeding your ego.
Well, the interesting thing about why you said that, like, it's funny you say, like, you like the way I play the game, because when I got to the NFL, I didn't use my hands very well. I kind of, like, just – I didn't use my length. I kind of just used my feet to try to beat the guy. And but so
all aspects of your life too, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You don't use your length ever.
Yeah. Well, if I think you're talking about what you're talking about, there's no length to use.
Yeah, your penis.
Hey, she's pregnant.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. You're saying. But when I got to the NFL, like, Sully would take me into his office and make me watch your film about how to punch. He put on it was the playoffs. It was green. It was you versus Green Bay against Clay Matthews. And he made me watch that film over and over again. The way you punched, the way you, if you missed, how you recovered, how you got back in it, the way you ran off the ball. So in a lot of ways, the things you admire about me are the things I've learned from you, which is, it's a cool full circle thing.
Maybe that's why I liked it so much, because maybe I subconsciously noticed I was just watching myself.
Gotta love yourself, man. If you don't love yourself, who's gonna do it, right?
Exactly.
I love that. That's dude. I appreciate you saying that.
Hey, by the time this comes out, the documentary will already be dropped. But the Redskins are doing a piece on Alex Smith. Take a moment to talk about Alex and, like, playing with him, and, you know, what you think of Alex and what.
Dude, Alex is one of the most. There. If you guys, you played with him, right? When you were in Washington?
No, he was the year after I left in Washington.
Oh, he was. Okay, so one of the most, like, unbelievable human beings I've ever been around. You know, I was actually talking with him this past season. We played the Redskins. I saw him after the game. And, you know, he's still going through, you know, a tremendous amount of rehab and everything. And everything he's been through with his leg. And I even commented, I stopped him mid-conversation. I was like, dude, I can't believe, like, how positive you are about everything that's happened and gone on. It's like, you don't have a down day ever. Like, he's just the most positive, good person, loyal human being that I've been around. And he's, like, really inspiring to, like, want to make yourself into, like, a better human being. He's an unbelievable dad, an unbelievable husband, tremendous competitor, like, never pointed fingers. It was all about the team. You know, he had that whole thing go on where he lost his job. Cap came in. He never made it about him. He was like, you know, if this is the best move for the team, then I support it. I'm going to do what I can do to try to help Cap. And, you know, then I'm probably going to move on. But, I mean, he was just a tremendous guy to be around. And I could go on and on about, you know, what Alex meant to my career, almost the same way as, you know, Frank was.
I can't wait to watch that documentary on Friday.
Yeah, he's been killer. So much. Like, it's unbelievable. I think it'll be really eye-opening for everybody to hear, like, exactly what went on with his leg break. It was
Have you gotten to see it? Have you gotten to watch it?
But I mean, I'm just talking to him.
Just talking to him, yeah.
Throughout the years and just knowing what he's gone through.
My last thing, and I hope you give me what I'm wanting. Who's your favorite defensive coach you've been around?
Jim Tomsula.
There we go. That's where I wanted to start.
Yeah, I don't even think about that.
Yeah, that's where – yo, he was a head coach for you for a year, right?
Yeah, he was.
Dude, how much fun was Coach Tomsula? Because he's my favorite, like, non-linebacker coach that I've ever been around. Like, I love sitting at the cafeteria with that motherfucker. He'd be buttoned down, Italian mob, like, gold – his necklace, talking about hoagie sandwiches. You want to be – just, he had all the wisdom in the world, dude. Tomsula.
Yeah, just an unbelievable dude. I mean, you got to be around him. It's, like, hard to explain. It's hard to explain him to people that don't know him, but he's, like, the most caring coach that you've ever been around. He's always asking about your families. He knows, like, your whole entire background, your sister's names, he remembers everything. He's always checking in on you. And then just being, like, dude, seeing him work as a D-line coach and, like, what he was able to do with, like, Justin Smith, Alden, Ray McDonald, you know, Breo Franklin, like that D line that we had with Harbaugh's years, like he is a tremendous, tremendous football coach, but just like a character to be around. And I remember his first year we had where I think Singletary got fired before the last game. And I think it was that year. And then he came in for 1 year or one game and was like the interim head coach for the last game. We were already out of the playoffs and was just kind of like a whatever week. It was probably the most fun week I've ever had playing football because he was like, we're just going to go out there and just have fun. And just like, we're fucking playing a game. Like, who gives a shit? Just go out there and have fun. He came there to the first meeting, like in a suit. He's like sweating. His fucking chains open. I don't know. He was a wild dude.
Well, he had his press conference that everybody refers to and laughs at because he has all these one-liners and shit. I remember he pulled me aside. Like, I was going through a transition, and he was picking me up. He's like, hey, I see you working. You see what I do out there with all them D linemen? You see how they're all on rotation? Like, a few plays in, I put him in. I don't give a fuck. I got what you call fuck you money. He's like, they're going to tell me how to play my guys. And just, dude, he was so much fun to be around, bro. Like, after training camp, you would know to go to the back and the equipment guys because he'd be back there drinking beer and stuff with Minuski. Him and Minuski would be tag teaming beers, dude, telling stories. It was, like, the most fun to be around those fucking guys.
Yeah.
Taylor and I were, like, on these Zoom pods. We need to make them closer to, like, 40 minutes. But, dude, this is the fucking best.
Yeah, this – boys talking it up.
Future Joe Staley on the podcast, dude, having his own podcast under the umbrella of Busting with the Boys. Can't wait.
I can't fucking wait. Here we go, boys.
It's gonna be killer. The recruiting always goes, Joe. We're doing
this. If I do that, I'll probably have to move to Nashville anyways because I got to be on that bus. I just can't. I can't just sit.
I mean, you want to come to Nashville and be on the bus, you can do what you want to do.
I'll tell you what you need to do regardless. Next offseason, when all this quarantine bullshit is over, you need to hop on your private jet or your helicopters, whatever you own.
Yep.
Cruise your ass out to Nashville. Hang out for a weekend. We'll get rowdy. We'll get after it. We'll get drunk. And we'll go on the bus.
We'll recruit you hard.
That's a weekend, huh? I mean, I got nothing but time.
You want to do a week? We'll do a week.
Do a month. We'll do a whole year.
Fucking 3 months goes by. I call Will. Hey, yo, Joe just won't fucking leave my house, man. I got to get him home. His wife's called me 5 times.
He hasn't put a shirt on in 3 weeks.
I tell you what, in a year, the way you're going to be looking, if you get in that Joe Thomas, when I'm retired, I'm going to look better than Joe Thomas looks now. And that's not a competition, but it's just going to happen.
I don't know, dude.
I think you will
work just as hard, Taylor, but I think the way you're built, I don't know if you'll be able to be as ripped as that dude.
What does that mean? Yeah. I have more.
Don't let people talk you down, Taylor. You can do it. I believe in
you. Thank you. You know what? I'm not going to try to defend myself, Joe. I appreciate that.
Your chest. You know what I'm saying? You don't got like the shelf chest.
Yeah, dude. I got a little chest, but here's the deal. Like, when everything else shrinks, it's going to be bigger.
That's true.
When everything else shrinks, then calves are going to be bigger.
I think your legs are going to be the same size either way.
No, but yeah, probably I'll just be more proportional.
Yeah, you'll just look way better up top.
Dude, I used to be so self-conscious about my calves, but now I love my legs. I love them.
Your calves aren't scrawny. They're nice.
Don't repeat that sentence you just said.
Why is that?
Now I love my legs.
I love them. They have a little vein going down my calves now. I got tattoos on one side. What's your favorite part of your body, Joe? What do you love about your body? What?
My nose.
That Owen Wilson, dude. That Owen Wilson nose, dog.
Dude, that thing's wicked, bro. It's character.
Yeah, exactly.
You got actually. I know we ended the podcast, but we're still in the podcast. It's kind of weird. What was you get your like eye blown out or something like that like 2 years ago?
Yeah, Fletcher Cox.
Fucking. What'd he do?
Punched me, and we were.
It was he actually punched you.
Well, no, we were on an interception, and so I'm over here. Ball gets intercepted, like, you know, right over on the sideline. And so I take, like, the creative angle to try to, like, tackle this motherfucker that's running a 4-2. And I turn around, and Fletcher Cox is right here. And he just goes, boom, right to my head. And I don't know how he did it, but his finger got through my face mask and shattered my orbital bone.
Yeah, but you were rocking that visor after that for a little bit. That's pretty dope.
That dope visor.
Yeah, I tried. I tried to go like the LaDainian Tomlinson dark visor, but I didn't get approved for it.
Yeah, but what? How much is that fine? $6,000?
No, that shit's like 20 something. I was always my whole career like followed every rule to the T. Like I'm not about giving my money up. I know you have a different take on that. You love giving money up and getting fined.
I don't love giving money up, but sometimes I fight for what I believe in, Joe.
I never fought. I had no integrity. I never fought for what I believed in.
I tell you what, dude. I got fined $30,000 for moving a ref's hand off my chest.
I got $30,000 for cussing out a ref in my career.
Yeah, I have a video of me cursing out refs.
Yeah.
You tried to fucking ruin the game? You tried to fucking ruin the game?
Sons of bitches. Here's the issue is, like, my voice isn't very dominant. Like, I don't have if you heard me over the phone, it's like, oh, this kid's about to go through puberty. Like, I don't have, like, a Brian Arakpo voice or something like that. I don't know if you know Rack, but Will does.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I'm yelling at people, it doesn't have the same, like, as it should.
I think you sound very intimidating.
No, it's not, but it doesn't need to be. When I have that shelf chest and I retire, dude, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look at the boy, 260.
260.
260 sends me a pic of a tarps off. Take your shirt off, dude. Let's see it.
Take it off. Just take it off right now, dude. Just
take your shirt off. Nope. Take your shirt off right now. Why not?
Show everybody. Show everybody that retirement, bro.
Show us everything.
Hey, you retired. It doesn't even matter.
Show us everything, Joe.
I don't miss the locker room that much. Maybe in a couple of months, I'll be jonesing to be in the locker room again. I'll get on here and just show my flesh off.
Can we get you to take your shirt off and put Taylor's jersey on you right now?
Let's see how
just for promotional. This is just promotional.
Let's see how it fits, dude. We gotta see how it fits.
Yeah, just want to see how it fits. This is just promotional. This is just for Twitter.
I gotta get going. I'm good.
All right, dude. We'll see you later.
All right, man.
See you, Joe.
See you guys.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.